Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/FTSW. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Come to Air Temple Island, your new home.
I'm the Avatar. You gotta chill with it.
You're the Avatar, and I'm an idiot.
You're a firebender. Boil it yourself.
Go away, Mako.
Don't worry. I will protect you, my feeble turtle duck.
I will make no such promises.
Bolin's got some moves, huh?
You amuse me. I will make you mine.
You shall meet again soon, beautiful woman.
I can't wait to get started. Yes! Finally!
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra podcast for DongBuFang.net. I'm your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Sam.
Hi.
And Delaney.
Yo.
We are live on video after the Legend of Korra Book 3 premiere. It's very exciting. 3 episodes aired tonight. So welcome everyone watching live, watching archived on YouTube, and who's listening to the audio of this. If you're listening to the audio, there's a link to the YouTube video in the description of the podcast. So if you're live with us, you can send us your comments or questions in the comments of the YouTube video, or tweet at us with them with the hashtag FTSW, and we will reply during the live show. Very exciting. This is a spoiler-free podcast for episodes 4 to 6. If you weren't aware, episodes 4 to 6 leaked in the Spanish dub of them leaked. We won't be discussing that. You're completely safe with spoilers, etc.
And you deserve a medal for avoiding that.
For avoiding them, yes. But no discussion of that other than they are good. But we'll get them in 2 weeks, at least episode 4. And also, no spoilers in the YouTube comments, please. If this is your first time listening, or I guess now watching after From the Spirit World, because it's our first video podcast, there's more info at the end of the show.
Didn't we have one like a few years ago?
We had a live audio podcast years ago, but yeah, we've never done video. We'll have a full audio recap of audio podcast recap of the premiere next weekend, because there's no Korra episode next weekend. We'll be back with episode 4 for Korra in 2 weeks. So let's get right into it, guys. This is a very exciting premiere, at least I think. Let's go around the horn. Starting with Delaney, what did you think of the 3 episodes overall, basically, and how do you think the quality of Book 3 will be from these episodes?
Well, I love the first 3 episodes. Awesome, beautiful. I just loved it. I mean, I think we were talking about, on Skype, the dialogue was kind of meh the first episode, but the second episode was funny. This season's going to be awesome. I'm excited. I don't think I've been this excited for any season of Korra, other than the first one where we were like, oh my god! But, I mean, I'm really excited. I think it's going to be great. I have high hopes, which was a complete turnaround for me being like, oh my god, 3rd season of Korra, it's going to be terrible. I was wrong. I'm so glad to be wrong.
Good. So, Sam, what do you think?
I think that so far it is miles above season 2, and that it is better placed, more funny, and the story makes much more sense so far. So I have high hopes for this season. It made me happy and giggle.
Yeah, it made you happy. That's good. That's good.
It's important.
Yeah. I thought these were easily 3 of the best Korra episodes we've seen. It's kind of astounding how we've seen such a contrasting quality from the first 2 Korra books. Not that they were bad, but they were kind of meh at times, especially the beginning of book 2. And now we just start off with easily 3 of the best episodes. It's very encouraging. We'll talk about some specifics here, but just the pace of the episodes was starkly different. Episode 2 was basically a full comedy episode, which we've never seen before from Korra. It's pretty crazy, and I don't really understand why they changed. There weren't significant crew changes between books 2 and 3. We still have the same writers.
They got more inspiration.
Yes.
They're like, wait, we're doing it wrong. Let's try again.
We're doing everything wrong. We need to fix it.
Yeah, everything. Just different.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the other Korra books were necessarily wrong, It's just It seems kind of crazy they didn't discover this new system for Corey. I don't know. It's not really a new system. It's kind of comparable to Avatar almost.
It's like the right thread. Like they found it. They found their groove. This only took 2 seasons, but they're there.
Yeah, it's like this much slower pace. This not a necessity to have the story like just on every single minute. Like we can take breaks from the story, and we can only have the villain stuff happen every like third of the episode, and we can just cut there for a little bit. And also, just another thing is that the action beats seem much better, which I also don't understand why that would have improved. Maybe it's because we're getting a full year of Studio Mir. That could be pretty good. As opposed to in Book 2 where you have Studio Pro at the less quality animation. Anyway, so getting into specifics, the top story I would say from these 3 episodes is random airbenders popping up everywhere. Airbenders are back. Yes, and I think this has been a pretty contentious point in the fandom since we learned that this would be happening. And I wanted to know what you guys thought how they handled this, because this is something that people would call fan fiction-y, you know. This plot thread that's just completely contradicting the title of the first show. Like,
The Last Airbender.
Yeah. I had an argument with my mom about it. She was so confused, I had to explain it to her. She's like, but Aang.
But Aang, yes. Well,
she was like, what?
Aang also gone from Korra's spirit past now, as I know you're very sick of that. But, how do you think they handled it? Do you think you were satisfied with the explanation? Do you think it even matters? Delaney, why don't you start?
Well, I mean, I think the fact that they're covering it is what's important. Like, we needed this. Like, we needed this moment. We needed them. Like, this had to happen. Otherwise, we can't have the Avatar. You know, there had to be more. And the balance to the world, but we don't really have an explanation yet. Just I'm not really too satisfied with just harmonic convergence. I'm hoping we'll get a bit more. If not, I mean, I'm not going to be like upset. It's fine. It works. We've had less detail in the past, so this is actually a step in the right direction. Just I'm fine with it. I'm not really bothered. I think it's fine.
What do you
as think? As is. Like, we're 3 episodes in. This is good.
Yeah, it is only 3 episodes, and we are judging a little bit early. But Sam, what do you think?
Sam thinks that it was kind of a stupid idea, but they're making it work, you know? Like, I really liked how they handled these people who were, like, suddenly becoming airbenders. I really like how they handled that, and I look forward to looking how they're going to handle it throughout the season. Yeah, I think it is a very fanfiction-y idea, but I think they're going to make it work somehow. Better than last season's fanfiction.
Yeah, I think that every major plot advancement they make in the Avatar world at this point does seem unrealistic, because we have such an established sense of the Avatar world and the mythology of it. So when we come up with something like, oh, there's more airbenders, even though that's kind of out of the blue, it's going to be the same as almost anything. Like last season we explored the spirit world, and all of that just seemed very nonsensical to a certain extent, but that's just because we're so ingrained of what they gave us in Avatar, which in certain elements was not, no pun intended, was not a lot of establishment in the mythology. It's a lot of there is an Avatar and there is this Avatar state in the past.
How was that, no pun intended?
It was not, because I thought of it afterwards, that's why. But anyway.
Mega pun.
Yes, no, I would like to think I was that smart. But I think, I really do, I think that every major plot development at this point will seem weird. But I think, and I also don't think this explanation was that great. I think that if there's a criticism to be made of this Airbender thing, it's that, oh, harmonic convergence, and we're supposed to accept that.
Yeah.
But I would say try to look past that, and try to just take the season for what it is, because at some point you have to like establish the main thread of the season, and then we can move on and get the actual good stuff of the season, like what we're getting with these 3 episodes and the next few as well.
Are we revisiting something? I mean, we're going to have that problem of, well, this doesn't seem like this is real, like this is made up. So that's, I mean, that's really like the essence of Core, like revisiting something we thought we knew. So when they change stuff, we're like, hey, put the carpet back, stop it.
Yeah, I agree. And so, yeah, I'm not super satisfied with the explanation, but I do think they're pulling it off here in these three episodes. Yeah. They did it better than I thought they would. They gave it a lot of time.
The humor.
Yeah, they made it a big source of humor for the show, which was really unexpected. Just specifically episode two, how much that was humor-based.
It was so Avatar-like, which, I mean, of course, it's good. Obviously, we liked Avatar. But I don't know. Yeah, it really did, though. It had that Avatar feel, and I enjoyed the map. That cracked me up.
Yeah, that map. Well, we'll get to that, I guess. Let's stick with Airbenders for a minute. We see, I guess, how they approach this in different ways through different people. We get a new character of it with Kai. I'm sure we'll meet tons of new Airbenders. We get it with a character who we've already seen in Bumi. What do you guys think of Bumi suddenly learning to airbend? I think there's an easy criticism to make in that this takes away from Bumi's non-bender pride that he's had, and which is on display in last season. One of the last episodes just completely was almost about him like being awesome despite not bending. Are you annoyed by this, or can you accept it?
I mean, kind of airbending is going to be taken away.
You think the airbending is going to go away at some point? Yeah. It seems like they're not just going to, like...
I don't know. I feel like they might do that.
Yeah.
I think it suggests there's a motive or, like, and I like some sort of almost reward system. Like, maybe there is some, like, method to the madness of who gets airbending. Or like, really, I think a lot of it was we need to bring Aang back, even though we can't see Aang anymore. Ugh. I'm going to stop. I'm going to be quick before I start screaming about it. But, you know, they're really, I mean, especially the first episode, was it? Just Aang, stop. We're going to cry. Do you have to keep talking about him? And then I think they did that to Bumi to kind of like just his child. Look, now he has airbending. Aang is gone. He can't learn from his dad. But I think it was kind of like more of like, let's bring Aang back as much as we can without actually being able to bring Aang back.
I didn't expect that Aang pathos moment with your grandfather, that whole airbending. I mean, it makes sense if you think about it. It's like, we're getting airbenders, so we're going to have this scene with Tenzin and his family, and to mention Aang. It was very emotional, though. I thought it was pretty well done.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm. I mean, anytime you're going to do that, it was great. And, of course, and really, it was almost better than the flashbacks, them doing that. Just, we need that in the now, you know, referencing the old series. And like just cementing the relationships that we will never get to see, but they're there.
Yeah, I think this is more effective for me emotionally than the flashbacks. I don't know if that's true for everyone, but I think flashing back to the characters 50 years after we've seen them isn't necessarily gonna elicit inherent pathos just because of the old series. Like, I think maybe if we saw them like 5 years after, but now that we're seeing our current characters who we have who are emotionally attached to, and seeing them relate to the characters of the old show, I think that's a really good way to approach it.
Yeah, definitely.
I would say the second biggest, you know, story to come out of tonight is the slower pace, and we've talked about this a little bit. Just how un-Korra-like these Korra episodes were.
It's watchable. Seems, what?
Yeah, it seems much more Avatar-y.
Good.
Which is probably good. I think we all enjoy that pace more, maybe. But I think Korra has done has had good and bad examples of its frantic plot pacing that we've seen. But I think it's interesting to see how they just they're unilaterally going away from that with this season. We've seen three episodes now, and all three have just had this slower paced feel. And I think it's definitely a good thing. I think the comedy of the second episode, which we mentioned, we had that chibi map, which was crazy. Like, we've never seen anything like that on Korra. I guess the closest would be
adorable.
It was pretty adorable. I guess the closest would be the anime effects in book one, like with Iki and
Korra with like the lightning.
Yeah, Korra had
it. Yeah, Korra.
But this was like on a new level. I did not expect that at all.
It's like, what? Is this the same show anymore?
Yeah, I know. And we have in episode two, we have the John, what's his name, Sam?
John Hader.
John Hader, who played Napoleon Dynamite. We're pretty sure he did the voice of that.
If he didn't, then that was totally awesome.
It was him. I think the Nickelodeon Twitter account kind of said as much. And so yeah, we are live, so we can't check the credits to make sure that's true, correct. But that is so great. The hipster Brian Konietzko modeled young age representation character. That was like, who even wrote that?
who did that?
Are these our writers? Like, Josh Hamilton wrote that episode and seemingly did a great job, but that was so weird and different, and I loved it, honestly. But, yeah, and it kind of had nothing to do with the plot. That's the thing. I think that's, like, the takeaway here. That just had nothing to do with the overall core plot. Sure, he was an airbender, and they're trying to recruit him, but it's like we can step away within the context of the plot, but not necessarily relating back all that much and establish this. And I think the other big comedy thing from that episode was the fake play, or the play about the
razzle dazzle.
The razzle dazzle, yeah, it's crazy. That was very obviously very Ember Island Players ish.
The Airbender Circus.
The Airbender Circus. Would you guys enjoy that?
Yes. Tenzin shirtless. Who wouldn't enjoy that? Hello.
Oh, that's
Bolin is perfect.
Bolin.
Mustache. I don't understand.
Yeah. Comments from Silinbor. Sorry if I mispronounced it. I think the slower pace and helps with the shock value of the big reveals. I think that's a good point because the Sam now with the mustache. I think that the slower pace makes the villain breakout moments that we saw in the episode much more effective, I think, much more jarring from the rest and much having a bigger emotional impact.
Definitely.
Yeah, and
especially with last season, we'd have really, you couldn't even be shocked because it was just happening so quickly, and then you couldn't really, you have to, like, recover for 30 minutes after the episode to process everything you'd seen, other than Iroh, where we were just, you know, all, like, freaking out, but just...
Last season, especially in, like, episode, like, Peacekeepers, which is, of last season, which is, like, my least favorite episode, when we just have plot, and nothing is big anymore. Now we can slow down, and now these random, also kind of fanfiction-y villains that we're getting just have much more of an impact on the show.
You recognize big moments now.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. Moving on a little bit. The third big story, I would say, is just the character moments. I want to specifically focus on the Korra and Asami moments we see in these characters.
Because
we got three of them. Right, like
they need to just date already.
They really do.
Full disclosure: I don't know if Sam was shipping Korsami until now, but maybe she does after these.
They just have to date now. Friends don't act like that.
So we see the previous two seasons of Korra and Asami don't interact ever. Once in book one, and then
Asami's background.
Yeah, Asami in the background when Korra's in a scene.
Asami doing so much better things with their time than fighting Unalaq.
Yeah, running a company which she seemingly doesn't care about anymore. Yeah, that's not even talked about. But anyway, we get Korra and Asami learning how to drive.
The cutest thing I've ever seen ever.
That was really really good. The fight scene in episode 3 and just the Asami coming off the airship.
Asami facial expressions where she just looks like she's going to eat Korra alive. Every time they pan over Asami, it's okay. Cracks me up. It's beautiful. Korsami is canon. We have proof.
I don't know if I'd call this proof. Korra did say girlfriends, but maybe in a different
way. I hate when people do that.
Zatarin, so we don't see why not Korsami is real.
But I think more in terms of the actual what they're doing with this Korra and Asami friendship in terms of the plot of the show. I think it's really good. I was extremely surprised how well they handled this in the context of the Makora breakup at the end of last season. We have Mako being awkward, which is somehow Mako goes from kind of sympathetic last season, but still coming off of book one where he was completely intolerable. And now he's just, like, super sympathetic because he's so awkward.
He's actually, like,
he's adorable. He's actually a person.
Awkward is, like, his only emotion now. So I think we should keep it that way and then hopefully
yeah,
being sympathetic.
I agree.
That'd be good.
But see, my whole thing, I wanted him to have a new personality. Now it's awkward, and now he can be a person.
Well, he's kind of one-dimensional in a different way now, that he's just awkward all the time.
But, I mean, it's more likable than, like, the other one dimension, so
we'll
why
take,
not?
We'll take what we can get, you know.
Exactly.
I'm really impressed with how they're handling the Korra and Asami friendship in the context of them talking about Mako and them, like, very quickly addressing the past elements of the show, which I didn't really expect them to do. I thought, like, if they were going to do that, it would be not handled well. Like, it would just be bringing up bad past elements of the show, so why bring that up again? But they do it. They bring up these things that are maybe problem plot points in the previous seasons, and they execute on, and they talk, the way they talk about them and address them is just really well done and addresses
and it's
a
realistic.
New character relationship. It's realistic. It addresses a new, completely new character relationship in the show. And I also think it also, at the same time, serves to further make Korra's character sympathetic and improve on just humanizing her. Now we have her having an actual friendship, like, and it's I guess since season one with Volan, it's great. Like, the way they address so many disparate aspects of the show with that, and I just thought it was well done.
It was awesome, and especially, I mean, again, you were talking about Korra, like, being sympathetic. If it had been any of the other seasons, Korra, well, she did jump in the car, but in the first season, or whatever, she crashed the car. Well, this season's like, are you sure you want me to drive? Like, that never would have happened other two seasons. She'd have been like, yeah, and then just, like, completely just destroyed the car. But she was actually driving slowly. We have, like, cautious Korra in the giant death machine. So that's some character growth. Korra's actually a person.
Yeah, I think on one hand, that. On the other hand, we still maintain Korra's key plot elements in her just complete... I don't know what the right word is, but you know her hot-headedness, but it's like it's channeled in a way in questioning authority, which we've seen it before. But I think she's sympathetic almost in every time she questions authority in this season.
But also helps that President, what's his face, is the meanest person.
Reich, no.
Reich, oh no.
Reich, no.
What was that headline like? Reich, oh no. Ryan, yes, the thing.
In the thing, yeah, exactly.
And then the Earth Queen, like, these people are terrible.
Yeah, so it helps that the things she's opposing are bad. But also, I just think the way she handles it is better.
Yes. I mean, she's not shoving people down Naga's throat, so
that helps for sure.
Where's Tano? What happened to him?
He doesn't exist anymore. I don't know why.
He's not a person.
Did he die?
No, he didn't die.
That's not good.
He just doesn't exist. And... I think the last major thing we should discuss is the new villains. These guys and Zuko helping to find them. Zuko's back. What do you guys think of Zuko being back?
He's not Dante
Yes.
Bosco.
He is not Dante Bosco. I, for one, am in favor of him not being Dante Bosco.
I'm not.
So,
I got used to it.
Dante Bosco is like 40 years old and he still has that voice. So I don't buy it. Nope. You don't
so
go
saying,
from that voice to, like,
because
old grandpa.
Dante Bosco ages and does not change his voice, therefore
yes.
Zuko ages. And I can see that. But it would just
yeah,
be weird hearing Dante Bosco doing 70-year-old Zuko. That would just be very odd.
That would be so awesome.
I mean, I'm okay. Like, at first I was like, oh, Zuko, don't talk. But then I was like, oh, no, this is okay. This is cool.
And I think the way they handle Zuko's character... I think they maybe a little bit struggled with writing the older versions of the characters. Not like that they are bad representations of them, but that it's just we don't get these. I don't get the feel that they are them. You know that they're the
like it's harder because we haven't seen the transition. It's just like we have 17-year-old Zuko. Now we have like 90-something-year-old Zuko, and we're like, okay.
Are you the same person that you were when you were 12?
Yeah, it's like
Yeah, I think it's a really hard thing to establish. But are you the same for Zuko? But I think they did it well with Zuko. I think we have that line in book three, I tried to kill the Avatar in a
the elevator scene.
It's like, what? It didn't work.
It didn't work. I thought that was great. And
yes.
It was very Zuko-like. And it also, for me, it calls back the That's Rough Buddy scene from
That's what Mako is reminding me of, like, how he's acting. Like, you're Zuko. Like, this is how Zuko would act, because Zuko is a dork.
Well, he is Zuko 2.0.
Well, so. he's the fire, the brooding firebender. Yeah.
Well, that's true. But, yeah, I mean, I just felt like the awkward Mako. I was like, you're Zuko, because this is how Zuko would act, because Zuko is the biggest dork ever. Which I'm kind of hoping for old Zuko dork.
Like, can we just see old Zuko and Mako just being awkward and dork together? Would that be good?
Yeah, what if they meet? That would be so cool.
I kind of don't want them to meet. I don't know.
But Zuko would say something like, oh, he'd either say something really, really just terribly dorky, or, oh no, don't be me, kid. Don't do it. Or offhand honor jokes. That'd be good.
What about Honora? Are we going to see her?
I assume we will see Honora at some point, and if you're unaware, Honora is the fan name for Zuko's daughter.
We've seen every ruler of every nation except Honora.
Maybe they're building to a book 4 reveal of Honora. Maybe it's this book, because Zuko's here, and now we get to see the
daughter. What if they actually name
her? I will die.
It's not happening, but we can hope.
It's either Honora or Ursa. Those are the only two options.
Honor Ursa. Back to they'll do Ursa later. That's so much a thing they would do. Back to the villain, Zaheer. What do you guys think of Zaheer? What do you think of his voice? What do you think of?
Is he the guy whose voice doesn't match his face?
Yes.
He's Henry Rollins, then, yeah.
Oh, I need to go back and watch that. Jeez, I didn't notice that was Henry Rollins. Okay.
I didn't really have a problem with his voice until Sam said something, and I was like, yeah. Kinda.
Oh, sorry. Must display this comment from Ty, who says, "Are Korra and Asami gonna kiss or what?" Paul.
Yes. We have to.
We agree with you all. Yes.
They need to make that canon. If they don't make it canon, I'm just gonna start watching the show.
You don't
bring me along like that, Nicole.
We won't know until the very end. So how are you gonna?
Even a platonic kiss, I'll be fine. Like, they have to kiss at some point.
Does that exist? I don't know.
A kiss on the cheek?
Yeah, a kiss on the cheek.
Okay, fine. I don't know if we'll see it, but we can hope.
Anything.
Zaheer, yeah, he doesn't have much of a character established yet.
And he keeps changing his appearance, and I feel really betrayed. Like,
whoa!
You just can't keep changing your appearance.
Okay, all right. Never mind. What? Nothing.
Okay.
Spoilers.
Never mind.
Yes, I think it's hard to make judgments on Zaheer yet. We don't know his motives. We don't know his personality really at all.
He's very
don't even know what he looks like. He keeps changing his appearance.
Well, he kind of appears on the show, so we do know what he looks like, but, you know.
But, like, you know, like, every other character, like, Zuko, like, everyone wears the same outfit, and then we have this stupid character showing up, cool. Changing his hair.
It's like
every
some
15 minutes.
By gender stuff.
So, yeah. I think regardless of how Zaheer was handled, I think I really like how they transitioned from, like, oh, there's airbendings popping up, and it's like, oh, Tenzin's like, all the great things they can do for the world, and then we see Zaheer in the person.
No.
It's like, no, this is not, it's not how it's going to work. And I thought that was really well done. It's a really interesting concept. It's like, okay, we're changing the Avatar world, but there's airbenders. So what's going to happen? Well, maybe there's a guy in a prison, because we've seen people locked up in prisons of the opposite element before, and now he can break out.
They're all in such remote places.
It would make sense, but...
Yeah.
Except it kind of bit them with the whole guard change thing. Maybe they should have seen that coming. What do you think of the whole non-bender turning into an airbender as the villain type thing? We don't really see much of it here because it's just, oh, he's instantly an airbender. But if we ever go back to reverting back to non-benders, this could be interesting.
I imagine it's kind of like a foil to, like, Boomy. Like, oh, we have Boomy. Oh, now we have this bad dude.
You have to think we're heading towards a Boomy Zaheer face-off.
Maybe. We don't know.
Maybe they were, like, enemies.
They could have been, yeah. We don't know. The problem is, with inserting plot lines like this, is you think we would have heard of it by now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's these four prisons, and, oh, this is... I do like how they're, like, they're changing the whole, this is how we found the Avatar type thing.
This is a fanfic.
It seems very far.
I wouldn't be surprised if I find this season on fanfiction.net from, like, 2013.
Wow, from a whole year ago. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I was going to say 2012, but, like, I don't know.
Okay.
The other villains. We get this earthbender. I think I tried to write down his name. I don't even remember, though. He's in the wood prison. Yeah, he seems not as important, but... He's just a dude.
Like...
He can magma bend, so yeah. I've heard a lot of complaints about that because we kind of seen him doing that in the trailer. And the problem is before the common complaint, which I'll voice, is that we've previously only seen magma bending from avatars, and it's implied that it's a combination of earth and fire bending.
Why did they put him in a wooden prison? Oh wait.
No, that was.
I think that was kind of like it was almost a throwback to the. Crap.
Yeah, that was that, the runaway from
Avatar. Yeah, but
that was Katara though, you know.
Fire. I mean, they had Toph in there too.
Wood.
Firewood, yes.
Burns.
Well, he's magma. I guess, yeah,
he's an earthbender.
I guess they knew he had the but he can apparently generate fire somehow too.
This is some weird stuff I came up with when I was 13.
It looks like they're trying to give every element like some like mega class like a skill, but all of them make sense except magma bending. There's not like there's fire inside of the rock.
Earth already has the water.
Metal bending. Why is Earth OP? Like why?
I don't know.
It's kind of OP too.
Blood bending's pretty sick.
Water and Earth, they're just trying to.
And if you're an airbender, I mean, you're just out of luck because there's, like, none of you, but...
Cloud bending, yes.
Well, yeah. We have a comment. We got a tweet from Melanie, a.k.a. Free Spirit, on Twitter. What do you think of the new sub-element of airbending? I think Zahir mentioned it. I don't... Do you guys remember that, him mentioning a sub-element?
What?
I don't know. See that
a sub-element to airbending?
Yeah, I don't know if that was...
I don't know what that would be.
Well, you'd think we'd see something like that. Now that it's like last season was air, but now this season is actually air.
You know, it's real air. It's like really air. It's air part two.
That's they should change the title from change, make it really air.
Yeah, really air.
Really air, you guys.
Paul says wood prison on the ocean means no earth to bend. Yeah, I mean it makes sense. It makes sense that it would contain it. It's just
but then again, you have. Ocean. And then you have, like, the bottom of the ocean, which is Earth. So
well, my question is, like, the boat just, like, does it stay? Is there an anchor? Or is it just, like, he's on a floating prison?
I don't know. I think he's probably
really, with the things that these people are doing, I wouldn't be surprised if he could bend Earth from the bottom of the ocean.
That's true.
It seems like it's pretty far away. I guess it depends how shallow it is. But yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not even sure how I feel entirely about, like, this high-class bending. Because, like, in Avatar, it was, like, only so many people. Now it's, like, everyone can do everything.
This is like an anime. Like Dragon Ball Z.
Tal says, Zahir mentioned untethering from the Earth.
Oh, that guru guy. Like, becoming a balloon, basically.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see what he's saying. It's like that's like a reference to... Sorry, Free Spirit. That's like a reference to old traditions and some of the things that you can supposedly do.
Well, there could be a hint to something later, like being able to fly without a glider.
Oh, because we saw something like that in the trailer or something.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know. Untethering from the Earth. Is that a spiritual at all? I don't...
Well, I mean, that reminds me of, you know... Guru Pathic, and you know, you have to let go of your worldly, you know, connections and stuff.
Maybe he just made a cloud house and lived in the clouds.
He's up.
About that. Like they did that in Adventure Time, they had cloud houses.
So it's definitely cloud bending, is what we've deserved.
Yeah, okay. That's definitely it. Cloud bending.
Okay,
why
good.
Not?
Kayla says, this is the first season opening of both ATLA and Korra where we haven't seen Katara. They weren't kidding about this being a new age.
Oh.
Tears, chest, why?
Yeah, that's a good
maybe
point.
Maybe she's dead.
Oh shut up, don't Sam, even, every time. Okay, why do you gotta do this all the time? every podcast, you're like, Katara's dead.
She needs to die.
She's not dead, and she's not dying.
She doesn't need to die.
Yeah, she does.
It's not even happening. Don't even.
I would just explode. not okay.
Yeah, and Melanie on Twitter clarifies weightlessness, as Zahir said. Yeah, that'll be interesting. I don't know. See, I'm not sure if he was just, like spouting, like, wise sayings just to make it dramatic when he airbended, or if he's, like, actually saying, like, this is something that, you know, like, that we can do. Because I think what he was saying is he was tying it all into the fact that you, like, shouldn't expect just what you see or something. You should explore the possibilities, which was kind of dumb because, you know, empirical evidence. But
I want to know why they gave him stuff to read.
No, I think he was into, like, the whole airbending.
He might have been before, yeah. It seems like he was into it before he went to prison. We don't know how old he was when.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think What's-Her-Face said 13 years since she had a visitor.
Ah.
Yeah, that's true. So it's been, yeah. So we know they that this. I think
we know things from like the spoilery things.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if we saw this in these episodes or not. I guess not.
Yeah, we saw What's Her Face in this third episode.
Yeah.
Let's read this long comment from Hokkaido Master. I'm thinking by the end of the season, we'll have somehow understood more of how the Hamranic conversions work to restore airbending. I'm not sure how we'll learn that information. Maybe a lion turtle or the Oasis spirit guy from Juan's past. Maybe there's some kind of bad side to the sudden something, which I can't quit read because it doesn't extend that far. But, yes, but you have to think they'll address this more in the season. This seems to be the main plot thread throughout the entire season, this airbending thing. And I think we'll get to see more of it.
And it seems like they're trying to space the plot out more, so I'm sure we'll have... I'm kind of done with Lion Turtles. You know?
We've only just begun.
You have, like, so many bajillions.
I would prefer no more Lion Turtles. That's just me. I don't think they've been super effective.
The whole Earth is made up of Lion Turtles. The Earth's crust in the Avatar world? Lion Turtles?
It's probably true.
That's why earthquakes happen.
Probably.
Probably true. Stuff from the first episode we haven't necessarily talked about. The whole how they handle Republic City, I think, is interesting. We have a comment from Tal on that. Actually, I was surprised how quickly they abandoned the Spirit Vines plotline. I'm expecting Republic City to be a real mess up when they get back.
Probably.
It's going to be like, have you ever seen that episode of Danny Phantom?
Oh no!
The one where like this like plant ghost is like terrorizing MD Park.
But anyway, I think the key here is that episode one represents a leaving of Republic City and maybe a putting that behind in the overall plotline. Maybe we won't even come back to Republic City.
The one thing is like who gave the president authority to kick out the spirit of the world incarnate? Like who are you, sir?
Also, let's talk about the approval ratings.
The Avatar's not elected?
Approval rating, or what are they going to do? Are they going to, like, kill her?
So, the only thing they can do with the approval rating is get a new Avatar, but that
these people are sassy. You know, back in Avatar, like, in Last Airbender world, you know, you don't talk this crap about the Avatar. I don't know who these people think they are. There was the Fire Nation, but, like, this is ridiculous. These little
Aang was just that good of an avatar.
I guess. Like
I really love the whole 8% line. I thought that was funny. I think it fits the
mainly because Asami's there. Let's not lie.
Asami's just gonna like kill her and just be like, oh, let's get a new avatar.
I like it because it's funny and it represents this this feel that they're going for with Republic City, the whole 20s and politics.
Like the modern,
I think even though it doesn't make any sense, like, it's fine, because it's just one line. And now we're abandoning that side of the show. It should be noted, what evidence is there anymore that this is the 20s? Like, it's also more Avatar-y because we don't see all these technological innovations.
And because of Ba Sing Se, especially since we revisit.
Yeah, so let's get into Ba Sing Se a little bit.
It still sucks.
It's interesting how they're now choosing to revisit a place from Avatar, and it's it's such a direct representation how they did it compared to how they handled it in the past, because it's such a similar way of handling the spotlight. It's like kind of the same things. The Dai Li's still there, and they still have the leader. I guess one thing to note is that they're like flipping the political system of Ba Sing Se. Now the Grand Secretariat is just the guy who's just completely subservient to the Queen, whereas there's the opposite in Avatar. I think that's interesting.
They learned their lesson from Long Peng.
They're going to the opposite, extreme opposite.
How does King Kuei have a daughter who has backbone? That's what I don't understand. Kuei, how'd you manage that one?
Who is Kuei having a daughter with is the real question here. I think we've
that's the biggest mystery.
Yes. So, we need flashbacks to see Kuei mating his soulmate.
And then she's allergic to animals. Are you serious?
Yeah, that's like just opposite of yeah, like, right? Because that's such the opposite of
Kuei. Like, Bosco, what are you talking about? And Bosco wasn't even a hybrid. He was a real bear. Like, I don't understand.
He was a real bear.
How?
I'm a real bear.
How are you allergic? Doesn't make any sense. Whatever.
And I think episode 3 represents a lot of plot lines which aren't necessarily super interesting, but I think are done pretty well executed. We kind of talked about this on our spoilers podcast, but we have Kai, who we'll talk about in a second, just being a pickpocket, and I feel like that's not a super interesting plot line.
Yeah, that's kind of like meh.
We have Zuko, or we have I'm confusing Zuko and Mako already. We have Mako and Bolin meeting their family.
I thought that was cute.
It was cute. To me, I don't have an inherent emotional connection to that plot line. Like,
same.
I don't know why, but I'm not going to be just inherently sympathetic to that, but I think they executed it well enough, and I thought it was well done.
Yes. Like, the scarf. Like, that was good.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
I didn't cry or anything.
I thought that the dad was the firebender. It was the mom who was from the Fire Nation, not the dad.
It's a big revelations, yes. Mm-hmm. And I think the other plot line, it's just all three plot lines of the show, the Earth Queen being dumb, and Korra having to put up with that also is kind of it's not an inherently interesting plot line. But
those outlaws were so punk rock, though.
That one guy, yeah. Like,
yeah, he had green hair.
But out of that plot line, we get a great Korra and Asami bonding scene, which I thought was very well done.
Very important.
Yeah, and I don't know, overall, we get an overall solid episode with an interesting ending, but one whose plot lines, I would say, aren't as interesting to me as the previous two episodes. Let's talk about Kai, because we haven't really talked about him. He was in episodes 2 and 3, seems like he's going to be a character now.
I used to have his hair.
You used to have his hair. That's very important. And
yes.
The biggest thing about his character is Jinora's crush on him.
Yes.
Jin Kai. And that's what that is called, the ship.
And it's canon, it's a thing.
And it's canon, and everyone ships it, and we're just going to go with that. But I think, I have such mixed feelings about Jinora and Kai, basically Jinora getting a love interest. It's like, on one hand, it's like, oh, here's a character who hasn't had a love interest and is now a major character, so we obviously have to give them a love interest. But on the other hand, it's adorable and it's great, so.
Yes.
It's like, and I'm like, kind of against it on principle, but it seems well executed so far.
I'm really, like, obviously it's really overdone and just why, but Tenzin's facial expressions are so worth it for him to get mad about it. Like, I know it's really overdone, but I want Tenzin getting mad about it. Like, being overprotective of Jinora. Like, just because Tenzin's facial expressions are the best.
Yeah, I think that.
It's just funny because it's Tenzin.
That, yes.
Like, if it was anyone else, it'd be annoying, but because it's Tenzin, it works.
Quick comment from Hypedo Master. He says, lava is molten rock, there's no fire in it. Waterbenders already have the ability to add or subtract heat to water to create steam or ice, so it makes sense that he can superheat the rock. What do you guys think?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best explanation we have.
I've actually haven't seen an explanation as good as that, so good
job. Who cares about science?
Good job.
I think it makes sense. I think it maybe slightly contradicts something we saw in Avatar, but
yes.
So what? And it's cool. Most importantly, how cool was that looking, the lava/magma like that he was bending? It was very, very well done. That's the general comment we should talk about, the fight scenes, too. The Korra and Asami fight, the Earthbender breaking free fight, the Zaheer getting out maybe wasn't as flashy, but I thought it was well done.
Yes.
Just all of them with great fight scenes. I'm sorry for jumping around a bit, but we forgot to talk about the consequences of last season's leaving this the spirit portals open.
Sonic the Hedgehog was there, and he was yellow.
Yes, we have that random spirit guy at the end of the Korosami scene, and it's like, oh yeah, all spirits are in the world now, so you know that's a thing. That's basically what that was, and we also see Boomju, obviously. Maybe they're not addressing it enough for me. I know
they just don't care.
I know the whole episode one plotline was about that, but it's like, okay, now we're done with the, okay, there's vines popping up, and that's the consequences of the portals being open, and now we're moving on, and we're just going to talk about airbenders now, which are the result of harmonic convergence, not even the result of leaving the spirit portals open. So I think we have to come back to that. That was too major of a plot development, and it has such a major impact on
where
there's spirits everywhere. Like, we have, there's these vines everywhere. There's spirits, seemingly spirits, living in the Avatar world. Let's get on some of that.
Maybe by banishing Korra from Republic City, they're just trying to banish Season 2 away. They just don't want to deal with the consequences, and frankly, neither do I, because Season 2 was so boring.
I think that's probably part of the reason why they're having all these extra plot lines, is they don't think just these vines and stuff can carry a season, which they're right.
Like, but what about these vines?
Janora the Lorax, as I've said before.
Turn in next week when we find out what happens to the vines. Oops, nothing happened.
Or do it with the vines.
That's what we're choosing for the vines. Yeah, that's what it would have been if we didn't have episode 3 along with the first two episodes. It would have been surprise, no vines anymore. Back to the villains. Ming Hua is here, voiced by Grey Delisle, who's great and amazing. She has no arms, and she uses water.
How can she do that? Is she, like, bending with her toes or, like, her feet or something?
Yeah, so it's, I don't know, we need to examine that closer to see what she's bending with. Can she just have, like, it's like voiceless casting spells in Harry Potter? Can you just, like, bend without moving stuff? Is that a new discipline here?
Or maybe it's like how King Bumi was, like, bending with his head with the Return to Amashu episode, remember?
Wait, yeah.
When he was, like, in that coffin thing?
Yeah, yeah. So, but I don't know if we see her doing anything like that, you know?
Well, and also, I think, like, you know how it's supposedly all chi or whatever? Maybe, like, being able to, like, outwardly... I don't know. Maybe it could even be, like, a idea on the phantom limb and just going based on that. Like, you know, you still have the sensations and still technically you can still bend. Like, kind of just, like, kind of addressing that a little bit.
Waterbender cut off her arms.
I wonder if we'll see that addressed in the show, because she doesn't seem super major yet.
Yeah.
It's like, I think, I don't know how to pronounce her name, but Play, P'LE, or L-E or L-A.
Combustion Lady.
Combustion Lady, basically.
Yes.
She seems like more of a major character.
Yeah.
Because we have a whole episode 3 dedicated to her breakout, and she's cool, and stuff like that. A lot of theories on how she exists, how there's someone else with this power. I don't know if I'll address it.
Combustion Man actually lived, and he had a child.
Yeah. Or he already had a child.
Or the Combustion Colony, as Dylan and I theorized.
That was the whole...
The colony
whole,
of people.
Whole thing
no.
About this,
there's no telling. And it could just be, you know, they just crop up. It's just an ability, like, normal. Just it happens.
Yeah, you just show up with, like, this thing.
It just happens.
Right there.
What's my thing? Like, is that something they do to, like, increase their power? Or, because it doesn't look the same, I don't think, as Combustion. I don't think it's the same. Like, it doesn't look identical. I mean, obviously it's similar.
It might
maybe
be.
Maybe they go through, like, a ritual, like,
yeah.
We are sacrificing you to blow things up with your forehead.
Yes. That's obviously. Who's your favorite of the four new villains?
Zaheer, because he's voiced by Henry Rollins, and I have to rewatch it to figure out how I missed that. Because Henry Rollins is punk rock.
Delaney?
It's so... I don't know. Like, obviously not the Earthbending guy. He's boring. I'm sorry. He's not boring. It's probably like, I think Ming Hua is just, like... The idea of her is so fascinating, and I want to know more about her. But I guess Zaheer or Combustion Lady, like, for tops.
Yeah, I think Zaheer is interesting, but for me, it's definitely Ming-Hwa. Voiced by Greta Lyle, waterbending, no arms, waterbending arms. That's just really cool, and I want to see what they do with that. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like she has much plot going on, but maybe later in the season.
Yeah, I want to know her backstory. Like, I think the mystery will be gone if we find out her backstory for me, but then, like, I don't know. They're all neat, except Earthbending Dude just seems boring.
Tal says, no arm bending is just her special technique, like Magma Man and Sparky Sparky Boom Lady.
Fair enough, that could be
it. Yeah, but like, okay, so I guess on one hand, those, like, having these combustion powers don't actually make sense, so we can just establish them as, like...
Doesn't anything in the show make sense?
Well, we have to do it in the context of the Avatar world, as we've been trying to do, so...
Like, it really could just be something like you were suggesting, like, the whole, like... You don't have to speak to perform a spell in Harry Potter. Like, I think that's probably the most likely. Like, you can, and of course, she would be one to develop such a high level technique to be able to bend without movement.
It's like how Toph can see the earth with her feet.
See, something like that makes sense. Like, it happens because you need to. Granted, the Badger Moles taught Toph, so don't know.
Well, the Badger Moles were also blind.
It's true. Well, I meant like, you know. Yes, I just meant that she would have had to develop it herself. Toph, like, learned from someone or something
else.
Maybe
she learned from, like, a sea serpent.
This is a very good discussion here.
Yes, very, very serious. And
she learned from... What's the sea serpent from? Unagi. She learned from the Unagi.
The giant koi fish? She learned from the giant koi fish.
Not the giant koi fish.
It's different things, gosh, but yeah.
The Unagi is the giant koi fish.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is.
Well, you have a serpent. No rewatch for that episode.
Okay,
Unagi is the giant koi fish.
Where is the ocean defending this? Okay. I don't think it's...
You're wrong.
I'm not wrong.
Yeah, you are.
Anyway, let's start to wrap things up. But let's... overall, these three episodes, I thought... Maybe third, fourth, and fifth best episodes of Korra, like, sequentially. Like, that's how good. Like, for me, just behind A New Spiritual Age and second part of Beginnings. Although maybe the first episode's, like, even better than those two episodes. It was really good. I think episode two is going to be a lot of people's personal favorite because of just how funny it was.
Number one's my personal favorite. Episode one was the bomb.
I would rank these in terms of quality one, two, then three. What do you guys think?
I don't really care.
Like, I agree. Like, one was my favorite, and then two's funny. I enjoyed it, and then three, granted, we saw it. We'd already seen it, so I was kind of like, meh.
Yeah, I mean, it should be noted we did see episode three in Spanish, like, a month ago, but...
I did.
It was much better in English.
I don't know if it was much better. It's the same thing, but... I like Kai's voice is surprisingly not, snarky. That's my biggest takeaway from the voice.
Kai kind of sounds like Aang. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, I like his voice because he's kind of a character that could easily be unsympathetic. It's easy to view him as like this troublemaking kid, and also he's like, Jinora likes him. We all have maybe like father like feelings for Jinora, so we're gonna like inherently not like Kai. But I think the giving him a sympathetic voice is a big call to kind of ground that character.
Yes. Like, he's adorable. When he's not stealing things.
Yes. Hokkaido Master says maybe she's psychic bending like Yakone and Amon were doing.
Oh, yeah. True facts.
I don't even remember what Yakone and Amon
they
been a lot.
Their minds.
Yeah, I guess that's what they're going
that's
for.
That's another thing that didn't make sense. Blood bending during the day.
There's been stuff in Korra that has not made sense. So
true. That's
okay.
Who's shooting fireworks? It's not...
Everybody.
Oh, my God. Oh, it scared the crap out of me. Sorry.
Okay.
Fireworks. It's not July. This is wrong.
It's almost July. But yes, seemingly next episode, we're staying in Ba Sing Se because we kind of have a cliffhanger.
Let's have another... How many episodes is that?
Korra,
like,
just rage left.
Yeah, Korra's just...
Episode arc in Ba Sing Se.
They take Kai, leave Kai alone. I don't think we're going to be at six episodes in Ba Sing Se. It'll be interesting to see when they take the season, though. Yes?
What happened to the zoo that Aang built?
Yes.
Okay. Why didn't we hear from that? I don't know.
I want to hear a line about it because
it's probably a giant zoo. Like, it's Nicky Mungus now.
I mean, it's supposed to be like outside the walls. I didn't see it.
You didn't say. Well,
that's just it. Have they moved? This sounds kind of dumb. Have they just expanded a humongous amount? Because, like, obviously there's more buildings in Ba Sing Se now, but my thing is it wasn't, like, open really anyway originally, so did they have to move the walls?
I don't know. We need
Which they'd have the ability to do so. I mean, they built it in the first
Ba Sing Se and that architectural analysis piece on this. In order to understand that.
A scholarly essay,
yes.
20 pages.
Sources cited, yes, exactly. Okay.
Do tomorrow.
So let me do tomorrow.
Just
so, no extensions.
I think, okay, so wrapping things up here. Next week, no Korra, but we will be having a full audio recap of the three episodes, talk more in depth. But I think we hit on basically everything here. But we can just spend like 30 minutes on Korsami instead of like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Or an hour.
Korsami special, like.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Yeah, like it needs
what
to happen.
What was that one podcast we had, the gendered sexuality part 2, all Korsami?
It's Korsami edition, yeah.
Yes. It needs to happen. There was the Katang special, it just needs to be Korsami.
We also had a Zutara special, way longer on the podcast. Anyway, learn more about us, our podcast page, if you haven't seen us, we're dongbufeng.net/podcast. Dongbufeng spelled like the bottom of the screen here. There you go. And dongbufeng.net/podcast, you will see there's donation information there if you're interested in that. Thank you to our donators, Garrett, Sierra, Nick, Devin, and Lexi.
G-Money, Sierra Mist, Rudy and Tabooty, Nick at Night. There we go.
Okay.
Good job.
It's been a long time since I've been on.
Yes. Thanks for donating. Thank you.
Yeah, you get a cool nickname when you donate.
Also on the podcast page, you can find our bios, which are now enhanced with artwork by our co-host, Teresa. And
crap, I gotta
remember
my, don't read it yet, guys, it's terrible.
And you can see us as nations of our choice, like, depicted in the drawing form, and it's great, so you should check that out. She's working on going through all of the co-hosts. Thanks to Escalations, Aliburn, ToonGal, and others for supporting the podcast on Tumblr by liking and reblogging stuff. You can follow us on Tumblr at dongbufeng, I think it's dongbufeng.tumblr.com, and also on Twitter at the Dongbufeng address you see at the bottom of the screen, at Dongbufeng, and I will tweet from that account. Also at the podcast page, you can send voicemails for our long audio recap, which we'll be doing next weekend.
I was thinking about doing that the other day.
Sending a voicemail. In all seriousness, though, we are limited. I need to find the better plan, because I'm limited to 20 a month, and I feel like that's going to be taken up.
Well, it is the 27th.
That's true, actually. Maybe they reset. And you can email us, dylan@dongbufeng.net. Give us feedback on these video podcasts. I don't know if we're going to be doing them every week. There won't be one next week. There's no episode of Korra. I don't know if we're going to be doing this live thing. Depends on the support we had.
Just be another fun experiment like the minicasts.
I don't know about that. We'll see. Hopefully people like this. Give us your feedback. Post on the forums.
It makes me sad. I stalk them.
Yeah, you can comment there too. And remember, no comment, no spoiler comments on this video for episodes 4 to 6 or on the forums. What do you guys want to end on?
Razzle dazzle.
What was the context of that?
The airbending circus.
You gotta give a little razzle dazzle.
We didn't discuss that though.
Razzle dazzle.
Come on. I
like the idea of them bedazzling. Tenzin's bedazzling Tenzin's robes. Like, I think this is a thing that needs to happen. Like, put sequins on there. Yeah, I think Tenzin needs a little. Oh, now I got the mustache.
Melanie on Twitter says Minghua translated into English means tomorrow's flower.
Tomorrow's what flower?
Yeah, that's a thing. Okay. I don't know what the scene is.
All right,
that's pretty.
Okay.
Then now with
that's scary. You should not do
any
that.
Any better ideas, Razzle Dazzle? I don't know.
I was just gonna say Korsami. No, 8%.
I like 8%. I think that might be a good one. Tal, by the way, says Queen took down the zoo because she hates animals.
Probably.
That's dumb.
I know. God. That sucks.
Animals are people too.
Yes.
Remember that one line? It was like, you get to have a giant bison as your best friend. I like that.
Yeah, like, that's a good selling point on...
I have my giant... I have my mini giant bison over here. I mean...
I'd be...
It's important.
I mean, I already shaved my head, so...
Thanks to other people who commented that I didn't feature. Renee said, hi, guys. So thank you. Hi, Renee. And storyline was great, and the dialogue was awesome. Lots of humor interaction. Bryke and Tim did a great job. Also, Josh Hamilton, who wrote episode two. Great comedy.
Yes.
Kenneth said, the villains are awesome. I think that's good, too. And I hope we got all the other comments. I'm not sure we did, though. But I'm sorry. Nicholas Bloom said, Zuko fans rejoice. So, yes.
Who isn't a Zuko fan, though?
Me, but that's okay.
Are there people? I mean, like, you don't like hate Zuko.
Obviously, I don't hate Zuko, but he's just not my favorite character.
Everybody hates.
Let's, I mean, Zuko's not my favorite, but like, I don't know how you like hate Zuko. Like, he's Zuko. Yeah. He's a dork.
I wonder if that's its Tumblr URL. Everybody hates Zuko.
Everybody hates Zuko. I feel like we've done this with Mako. Anyway, thanks for watching/listening. Thanks for watching/listening, guys. Any last comments, Delaney, Sam?
No, I'm good.
Okay, let's end on 8%. I think. Unless you want to throw in Razzle Dazzle, that'd be fine too. So yeah, thanks guys. See you next week with the full audio recap. Oh, also subscribe to us on YouTube. Because then you can see if we're gonna go live for new podcasts. Okay. Thanks guys for watching. 1, 2, 3, 8%.
8%.
8% Razzle Dazzle.